Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted retailer nationally for 2021.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day Monday night following a weekend of sport. Now, the question simply is this. For you, was it a big weekend or a quiet weekend of sport? The number 133693, a big weekend of sport is normally how we open the program. But was it for you or was it a quiet weekend? This very weekend past, we had the WBBL final. Perth Scorchers got up for the first time. The great Glenn Boss rode his final race at Caulfield, finishing fourth. New boxing world champion, Australia gained, George Kambosos. So that's huge in the boxing fraternity. The A-League is into its second week. Josh Giddey continued to star. So to test the temperature, Scoop, the sporting temperature of our listening audience, and maybe highlight a few other aspects of sport that was important for our listeners, we've opened up the lines. 133693, a good old-fashioned slaps and sledges for Harcourts on the Harcourts open line. Was it a quiet weekend or a big weekend of sport for you? And more importantly, why? And while we're at it, Scoop, the Big Bash starts on Sunday and then the test finally gets underway on Wednesday week. Are you excited or a little bit underwhelmed as far as cricket is concerned? I've always felt, for me personally, where the Ashes are concerned, I tend in the build-up to be a touch underwhelmed. But then the first ball is bowled and I get engrossed in the contest, and I'm feeling that a little bit at the present time. At the moment, politics, unfortunately, has soured the build-up to this point. We still don't know who is going to be the keeper or if the Perth test is actually going to get underway or it's going to end up being pinched by either Sydney or Melbourne. The number is 133693. John Longmire, Sydney coach, not far away. But the question is, was it a big weekend for you, Scoop, or was it a quiet weekend? One of the highlights for me on the weekend is I can tell you the red jellyfish are back in the bay. Beware.
Hello, Jared. Happy Monday, everyone. What an interesting opener. You forgot to mention that the A-League was on.
No, I did say that. Second week of the A-League.
Right. Was it the second week?
Yeah.
So it is, games are being played?
It's on.
Okay. I had no idea. It's got to be the worst advertised domestic competition we've ever had.
At the moment, gee, I tell you what, you wouldn't have said that 3 or 4 years ago.
No, it's one of the best. Mm. But they
fallen off the perch a bit.
The A-League and its clubs refuse to sell its players. It refuses to sell the story.
Well, so far...
Apparently Channel 10, by the way, and their coverage has been amazing. And okay. Of course, I'm not having a go at the host broadcast. I'm not a huge watcher of Channel 10, so I haven't seen a lot of their advertising. Apparently, it's been really strong. But you don't just advertise through the host broadcaster. Mm. You've got to sell what you're building. Otherwise, how are we meant to know about it? And, you know, the Big Bash to me is, as well, unless you're watching Seven and you're seeing the ads for it, and Channel 7 advertises as good as anyone, how do you know that it's coming? And I got to say, Jared, you asked the question. I'm underwhelmed about the Ashes.
Are you?
Well, what would we be talking about right now if the Tim Payne debacle hadn't have happened? I mean, we're 9 days away from the Ashes. The two biggest talking points are, for obvious reasons, Tim Payne and you know, obviously Pat Cummins taking
over. And who's going to be the keeper?
And who's going to be the keeper? And also, you know, if the Perth test is going ahead.
Yep.
A conversation we've been having for 3.5 weeks. Mm. So, you know.
It is one of the issues that professional cricket has got right now. And we've had this discussion with Australian cricket on numerous occasions. But the lack of access to their superstars in general terms has been a problem. I think they've started to address that.
But yeah, I think it's getting better.
But I think at this stage it would be a really good time to push and get people out there, get people talking about it.
So, get the stars talking about the cricket. Mm. I got my Ashes ticket today.
Good.
I love my cricket. Go to Boxing Day every single day. So I can't wait for Boxing Day. But you asked the question, I'm being honest.
We should salute Glenn Boss, though. What a fantastic performance.
Unbelievable career. Oh, he started at 16, Jared, and he's just retired at 52. Can you believe that?
Amazing performance.
It would have been great if he went out on a win on the short price favourite Spanish Mission. It wasn't to be, but he's going to be remembered for many things. One of them, of course, being the trilogy of victories on board Maccabi Diva, which, you know, a feat that will never be repeated, you would think.
And before we get to our callers, the number is 133693.
A slab of urban myth as well.
The urban myth is available. Zero alcohol at its finest. And I had one today. Wow. Wouldn't believe it. 1 o'clock.
Get on the beers.
Yes, I did. I got on the beers today,
Jared,
at 1 o'clock.
One of the most professional people that I have ever worked with. and you are day drinking.
Well, I was given it as a sample.
We're, of course, taking the mickey. If you're just joining in, it's zero alcohol beer.
I sampled 2 days ago, and I sampled again today. It's a fine drop, and you're right.
Straight out of the can or into a glass?
Straight out of the can.
Okay.
It was a pretty hot day today. The other news in football, and we'll get to this down the track, but they've re-ruled on the bump. Bottom line is Patrick Dangerfield's bump was illegal, as it always was.
Yep.
Tick. Lockie Plowman's bump, despite the fact that the coach, David Teague, said it was in the spirit of the game, that's been confirmed as totally illegal.
That was the one on Jagger O'Meara, which was the late to the marking contest?
Yeah.
Yep.
Turned the shoulder.
Yep.
So that was a tick. Then they get to the contentious one of David McKay on Hunter Clark. That is now illegal.
Yeah, so we haven't actually seen official wording from the AFL, which is the hard thing.
No, we need the wording.
But there were comments from Brad Scott over the weekend that he, essentially saying, and I'm paraphrasing him here, if you're second to the contest and you make contact, you're in trouble. You make high contact, you're in trouble. So that if that's what the rule's going to be, we're going to have a lot more incidents going to the tribunal.
Yes, it was contentious at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was still very much of the view that David McKay was ball-winning mode until the point where he knew there was going to be...
Because the hands were out.
Exactly, until he knew that it was actually self-protection mode. So,
which is very different to the way Plowman moved his body.
Oh, yeah, no, I haven't got a problem with Lockie Plowman. Yeah. I thought that was guilty from the minute he left the ground. But let's get out to your calls. Cameron's in Sale. Welcome to you, Cameron.
G'day, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Big weekend or quiet weekend?
Massive weekend for us. At home, we've got we had boxing in Bairnsdale over the weekend.
Yeah, good.
And also yesterday watching George Ferocious Kambosos. That was unbelievable, an unbelievable fight. And he's going to be a great champion for Australia. And let's hope that COVID doesn't stuff up the plans for next year to bring him to Sydney or Melbourne and have a massive fight in Sydney or Melbourne.
Who's he likely to fight in that one, Ferocious Kambosos?
If all goes to plan, the WBC champion, Devin Haney, who fights in Vegas next week. So he should fight the winner of that and he'll have all the belts if he can win that. He'll have all five of them. So there was a massive achievement on the weekend, and he was, I think, 11-1 underdog to win that fight.
Unbelievable.
And it was just a massive achievement. Massive achievement.
Was it as close as his opponent suggested it was, given that he thought he'd won the fight and started abusing him after his hand went up, or was it clearly Ferocious Kambosos the winner?
No, it was clearly, as much as, you know, you want to watch an Aussie win, it was clearly Kambosos' fight, and if it had gone the other way, you know, it would have been another one of the, you know, another robbery that we've seen over there. But it was clearly a win. The referee is copping a bit of heat because, unfortunately, the ring announcer took too long in actually getting out who'd won and said, and still undefeated, and the referee just immediately thought that it was still the champion who was undefeated and raised his hand, and then realised very quickly that it was the result had gone the other way. He pulled Lopez's hand down again. So
good on you, Cameron. We appreciate that. It was obviously a huge weekend in boxing. It always goes to show, Jared, you need a good MC. And boxing back in Bairnsdale as well. I think that was Wild Will Tomlinson who was running that. So great to see boxing having a huge weekend. Enid's in Bentley East. G'day, Enid.
Oh, hi. Well, after watching 63 boys being drafted last week when Sanford's Day Night, our grandson was drafted on Friday to the Crows. He trained with them today. What a whirlwind.
Fantastic, Enid. Where did he play his footy?
What was that?
Where did he play his junior footy?
He played with the Bentley Demons, and then he went to the Sandy Dragons.
Another one of the Dragons recruited. Great work, Enid. You must be a proud grandmother.
We are, and worn out. Thank you. Bye.
Well done, Edith.
Drafted to the Crows.
I don't think Edith wants a zero alcohol beer, but first caller is certainly underway.
Okay, well, Edith might.
Not even sure why he's been taken off off the list.
Cameron, the urban myth is for everyone. Jeff's in Bundoora. G'day, Jeff.
G'day, guys. Me sitting on my mobility scooter, watching my granddaughter, 14 years of age, hitting 2 for 8 off 2 overs, and my grandson, which is 13, hitting 32 not out.
That's a great week in sport in anybody's language.
2 for 8 off 2 overs, Jared.
That's good work.
You'd be happy with that.
What sort of delivery?
Yeah, good girl.
Is she quick, fast, medium?
She's kind of medium fast.
Sounds good to me, Jeff. Great weekend for you, Jeff at Bundoora.
2 for 8.
We've got John Longmire not far away. He's had a big weekend himself. So, Scott, we'll make you the final caller. Let him tell you.
Oh, okay.
Scott from Sunbury joins us. Welcome to you.
G'day, guys. You said off the top of the show about not wanting to get into the host broadcaster, but the coverage of the A-League from Paramount is beyond a joke. I pay for Optus for the Premier League. I pay for KO for everything they do.
Yeah.
And if we're now paying for Paramount, it is such a substandard service. The A-League is going backwards in leaps and bounds.
So Jeff, I'm really interested in this. Why is it substandard? What's wrong with the coverage?
The clarity is poor.
Okay.
It's not in HD. There's no preamble leading up to the games. So
Hang on.
5 minutes before the game,
Jeff, it's not in HD. Are you positive about that?
When I've been watching it on a pretty decent Wi-Fi connection, it's been horrible.
Yep.
There's no any other streaming service gives you the options to watch the game from the start. You can't do that with Paramount. So if you miss the start of the game, that's it. If I go and put my son to bed halfway through the game, I can't pause the game. These are basic human rights for a streaming service these days.
Good on you, Jeff. It's a really interesting topic. We've talked about it with Ash Brown, Jared, on our podcast. But yeah, if you're a soccer fan, you could be paying up to $60 a month for all these different streaming services.
Yep.
I'd be very surprised if it's not in HD. I'm not sure they'd be charging the money that they're charging Paramount if it's not in HD, but we'll take Jeff at his word. We'll check that out. Scott in Sunbury, we'll make you last.
I think that might have been
Scott. Sorry, that was Scott. I was calling Scott Jeff the entire time.
Yeah,
apologies,
indeed,
Scott.
You were. That's why you should get on the proper beers. Cameron from Sale, he picks up the slab of Urban Myth to kick us off. Well, there are plenty more over the next month or so to give away.
Well, how many slabs have you got in the back of
the
car?
I've got a few. I've got a big truck out there.
Goodness me. John Longmire is the coach of the Sydney Swans. He's going to join us live next on Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. John Longmire is the coach of the Sydney Swans. Scoop. He's had a very, very exciting year this year.
Haven't spoken to horse in a while.
Ultimately, it ended up with disappointment, but like everybody, you get over your disappointments and you move forward with a really good, strong young group.
You said he had a lot on the weekend. What was going on?
I think he was preparing for your interview.
Oh, come on.
John Longmire joins us, I guess, from Sydney. Welcome, John.
Hey, Jared, Sam.
How's the rain up there? Has it stopped this weekend?
Yes, it's been pretty wet the end of last week, but all good today. We had a training session today and it was all fine. So all good yesterday and today, very good days.
So was today the first training session or have you been at it a week?
No, the younger fellas have been at it a week. So the older guys get involved next week, although there's been a few of them around, quite a few around for last week and this week. They were around still today, but they're not formally required until next Monday.
So tell me, John, when do you get over or don't you get over the obvious disappointment about the way you lost and went out? Given that it was such an exciting year, you've jumped ahead of the curve to some degree, and yet you went out fairly sharply with all those misses in the final term. When was it that you get over that and you start thinking, well, okay, that's behind us, nothing we can do, but how exciting is the future?
Yeah, it usually takes a bit of time, Jared. I mean, there's the facts are that's really, most years, unless you win the premiership, there's some disappointment in the way you finish and you set high standards for yourself and your football club. And so if you really, it takes a couple of weeks to get out of your system. And, we were really disappointed with the way we lost. We felt like we had a bit more to give, but the reality was we didn't get it done. And that's what finals are all about. And that's what learning's about as well. And you need to make sure that you take time to process that in the off season, and but then also try and step back from it and look at the bigger picture and realise that whilst it was disappointing to lose that elimination final, there was some gains made this year that we're really pleased with, and that doesn't take away from the disappointment, but it does usually take a couple of weeks for that to sink through your system.
How's the injury list heading into pre-season, John?
Yeah, not too bad, Sam. Touch wood. It's always you know, this time of the year, we've got a few less injuries than we've had, or a few less operations than we've had previously. So that's always a good sign that there's not too many recovering from major operations. And so, you know, I was talking to Tom Papley today. He's running around training for the first time in quite a while before Christmas. A number of others, but you know, we know that can change. But you know, at the moment, not too bad.
Can I ask you about Isaac Heaney? I read some reports over the weekend that he started contract negotiations. He's got next year left. I think he signed quite a long-term deal a few years ago. I'm just interested in your thoughts into his progression the last few years. Now, obviously, John, B&S aren't the be-all and end-all, but just having a brief look. So fourth in 2018 when he was starring, sixth the next year. He didn't really play last year, so you can't count it. Seventh this year. Is he the player right now that you expected him to be?
Oh, I think that if you knew what he was playing with most weeks, you'd say he's been outstanding. Okay. And I mean that he's had some really difficult injuries he's had to overcome, and he still gets out there and plays. And it's been remarkable, really, from even this year with his hand, and his ability to be able to play with injury has been as good as I've seen. And most often it's injury that no one knows about. And he just keeps on getting out there and playing every week. So, you know, we believe he's been fantastic this year. He's kicked 36 goals. He kicked four in the final and really helped us get over the line. And he's a very important player for us. And, you know, he has high expectations of himself, and his ability to get out on the park every week is of a really high level. So, you know, he's a good player.
Are these the sort of injuries that he'll have to play with for the rest of his career, or you think he'll be able to get rid of them and play injury free for a while?
Oh, well, we're hoping that he gets through them and be able to play and be injury free. There's been a lot of contact injuries. Last year he had his ankle, which took, you know, when you consider that was a significant ankle injury that really ruled him out for the entire season. And he had a limited pre-season, and then he got going, and then we were just getting used to what his body could handle. And he was able to train really well this year at the back end of the year. And so that was really promising. He trained well today and looked fantastic. So, you know, we're just hoping he gets a really good run at it.
Interesting discussion. Just further to it, if he was 100% fit for the whole season, would you see him still being primarily an inside forward 50 player, or is he potentially a 50-50 split like a Dustin Martin, or maybe even along the Petrarca lines of 60-40, 60-70-30?
Yeah, I think that he's probably getting up towards that, Jared, a bit more in the midfield now. Particularly, I mean, he got through this season quite well, and as I said, the back end of the year is training really well and able to play games out really well. He's naturally really fit, keeps himself in fantastic shape. So, you know, we'll be playing a bit more in the midfield this year. And so, you know, whilst it's hard to replace those 36 goals in your forward half, and he's a real threat in your forward half, we think he can still play in the midfield and push forward, and you know, it'd probably be that 70-30 type split. But you know, once again, saying the pre-season, and we'll use him where we need him, but you know, we'd like to play more in the midfield.
Game-based question. Today there was clarification, I believe, that Patrick Dangerfield's round one bump was absolutely illegal, and he'll be guaranteed a suspension next time, and I think that was probably the right call at the time. Lockie Plowman were the same, didn't have a problem with that. Still have some concerns over the David McKay Hunter Clark bump, and I'm wondering how you are going to coach this, where McKay essentially had his hands out looking for the ball, realised within a split second there was going to be body contact and brace for the contact. Clearly, if you're second of the ball and you bump head high, it sounds like you're going to be suspended. How do you coach that? How do you coach split second to the ball issues?
Well, I think you're trying best you can, Jared, but the reality is you're not going to get it right. A player's not going to be able to get it right every time. Mm. And I think it's very difficult to ask a player to get those split-second decisions right every time. It's something that we'll try and coach and try and teach. But in the end, it's very difficult to replicate that on a training track and have some clear guidelines for a player to making those split second decisions. But we also support the fact that, you know, we don't want to have head high contact, but there's also the reality that in this game it will happen at times.
Yeah, I find it I think there's always going to be the case a bit like McKay's, where we understand the intent of the rule, and Steve Hocking fought pretty hard and to get it up, but I think he was almost making the point rather than looking for the actual victory at the time. But I think there's still going to be bumps that will end up at the tribunal, and I think the tribunal will err on the accident side of things it does look like you're legitimately going for the ball until that final second.
Well, it will happen, won't it?
Yep.
I mean, as much as we try and get it out of the game completely, I think it's going to be impossible to get out of the game. It's a contact sport, and there will be instances when it'll happen, and we just can't do much about that.
So Paddy McCartan's the other interesting one. Former number one draft pick, had shocking issues with concussion himself, and then, you know, he lost his concentration in an out-of-character whack, cost him 5 weeks. Do you see a future for him? I know it was suggested that you're going to put him on your list at some stage down the track, but is he still in the mix?
He's still in the mix, Jared. Yeah, he is. I mean, he'll do some more training with us this year, and we'll look at him in the pre-season period, and mainly because, you know, to give some, you know, give him another opportunity to be able to show his wares. We're able to see him play this year in the in our VFL, even though it was a very difficult year for some of those lads. But we're able to see him play a little bit of footy this year, and we think he's got the flexibility to play at both ends. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
Yep.
Before that final decision's made.
Small matter of one Lance Franklin playing for you next year, John, who's on 995. I mean, we've lauded this guy for so long for all the right reasons. He's just been an unbelievable player. But how special is this moment going to be, whether it comes in round one or round five, to get to 1,000 and celebrate this career, the second half of which has been for your club?
Yeah, look, it's a special achievement. It's not something that, to be honest, Sam, I get too focused on. I mean,
you kicked a lot of goals yourself, so that's probably
not
fair.
Not quite that many. But I don't really, you know, I understand the interest in it. And the reality will be that it will be a magnificent achievement, if when he gets there. So it's not to be, if you in this day and age, it's a considerable achievement. And he's a player that's super talented and works really hard. He trained today, trained really well, still really enjoying his footy. So, you know, we'll wait and see when that moment comes, but I'm sure it'll be a special moment for both he, the footy club, and the fans in general, and I'm talking probably all fans.
Has he got 2 years left on his deal? Everyone seemed to be reporting that he's out at the end of next year, but from memory, it was a 9-year deal, wasn't it, Jared? He's only played 7 at the Swans.
Reasonably sure he's out next year.
Okay. Well, he must have been an 8-year deal then.
So, can you see him playing till he's 40 if his hunger's still there, John?
I'm not sure. I mean, let's get through next year. It's, you know, when you get to 35, I think before we start talking about playing as a 40-year-old, we'll see him play as a 35-year-old, and hopefully he goes well. And, you know, he's certainly moving well at the moment. He's looking pretty sharp, but we know that, you know, he's got a fair bit to go, and we're just making sure that he manages himself in a really sharp way, and we keep him physically able to get on the paddock as much as he was able to do this year.
Dude, if Ronaldo's playing at 37, I reckon Buddy's
got
him covered.
Yeah, but Ronaldo was on the bench on the weekend, so it's a time for everybody.
Well, you're saying that Horse is going to bench him for a few weeks?
No.
I can't see that happening.
I don't think Horse will bench him early in the piece because he is not the problem that Ronaldo is over there in the UK.
Oh,
Angus Sheldrick, when did you first hear Angus, John?
A couple of weeks before the draft. I got involved, obviously, with our draft previews and had a look at Angus and realised that he's one thing that stood out was that he's pretty tough and he's a huge competitor. And so that was the word coming back from our recruiting staff. And that's certainly what I saw in the vision.
And you got a couple of brothers now, Corey Warner.
Brother of Chad.
Brother of Chad, who's just about my favourite of the youngest players up there. If he's as good as his elder brother, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a different type to Chad. He'll probably play that wing at high half forward role, and he's an amazing athlete. His ability, his speed and power endurance combination is really of a really high level. And so we're looking forward to that. He gets up here. We know what Chad can do. He's a powerful competitor as well. And Corey's a little bit different. Got a really big tank as well. So, yeah, we're looking forward to getting those WA boys over here in January. They're not here at the moment.
Yeah.
That's the challenge for those guys. We thought it best for them to stay home so they didn't have to quarantine when they went back there at Christmas time. But we can't wait to say g'day to them all and see them in January.
And one final one. Would you like to have less pre-season and more games? Or do you like it the way it is?
I just think we need to have the right amount of games before the season starts, if that makes sense. I think that there's been some talk about having less pre-season games. I'm not a fan of that. I think we have to prepare to get our players to be able to physically get through the first 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm in favour of 3 pre-season games, you know, 2.5 for those blokes that that need the prep. So as long as we have enough games to get them going, I think that's the main thing.
John, it's always a pleasure having you on. If the weather's not great up in Sydney, it's 29 and sunny here tomorrow.
Oh, perfect, so one day showers and the next down here.
There's a couple of good days on the radar if you get bored of Sydney.
No, good up here. No problems up here at all, Sam. It's all fine.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you coming on.
Okay. Thanks, guys. See you. Bye.
John Longmire, the coach of the Sydney Swans.
A sports update for Tyre Power. Here to help you stay safe on the road.
Welcome back to Sports Day. The topic of the day, really outside of footy, is that Novak Djokovic probably won't feature in the Australian Open, according to his father, Sergen, who told Serbian TV that conditions to play at Melbourne Park were akin to, and I'm using his words here, blackmail.
Mm.
Have you ever heard anything more ridiculous?
Well, I can understand why he's using that language, because he's thinking he's being forced to do something.
He's not being
against
forced to
his
do
will.
Not being forced to do anything.
Well, if you're a tennis player, it would feel like you're being forced to be vaccinated to turn up to play. Well, unfortunately, that's the rules.
But you don't have to be vaccinated to play somewhere. You do have to be vaccinated to play in this slam. I'm getting a little bit sick and tired of this whole Novak circus, to be honest. Just don't come, mate. Like, it's fine.
We've got no choice. We've got to do this.
Well, yeah, he does have a choice, and he's not going to do it. And I know, and we love Todd Woodbridge on this show, and I can't wait to have him on again. And Todd thought that he'd come. And
well, I think Todd thought, like a lot of people, that you'd be able to go and quarantine in Sydney and then come through the side door.
But that was never going to work, Jared, because you have to be vaccinated to work.
Yeah, well, I think at that stage they thought it was going to work. But clearly, when Craig Tiley has said it 5 times now that I've read, you need to be double vaxxed to play in the tournament.
The surgeon had a crack.
It's simple.
Had a crack at Craig Tiley in the interview.
Did he?
Well, what's Craig Tiley got? Got nothing to do with any of this. He's working in a state which has mandated the vaccine. I think we should all just
a bit
today,
emotional about
I think
it.
We should all just today, Jared, accept he's not coming. Move on.
Simple as that.
Yeah, Karen Raffa.
Doesn't appear as if he's going to get himself vaxxed, at least vaxxed with anything that we acknowledge in this country.
Well, yeah, he might have a Chinese vax or he might have a Russian vax. That's what his father was alluding to last night. It was a good interview. It was a weird interview. I mean, I didn't quite understand it at first, but that's because it was in Serbian. Trent Dumont has landed at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, and?
You like that?
Where's he going to play? What position?
Well, he can go through the midfield. He can play at half back.
He's a hard runner. He's going to join us very shortly. He's a hard-running player. He's still got plenty of footy left. So
I like it as a pickup for Port.
It's a good depth pickup, and he's going to have to make sure that he gets himself above, another level above. And he may find, and they may find, he's a better player in a better team.
Trent Dumont to join us live next. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer. And for Wilson Homes, enjoy the Tassie summer in your brand new Wilson Homes. Trent Dumont is a man that we had on this show a few weeks ago, Jared, when you were enjoying some much-deserved time off up in Bondi, I believe.
Mm.
Surfing most days. And
much-deserved, as you said, it's good.
Gin and tonics at night time. When we had Trent on, we were all quite confident that he'd find himself a new home. He's been delisted by a team that won 4 games this year, and he's been picked up by a team, Jared, that won 17 games and finished second after the home and away season in Port Adelaide.
And he might find that
it's a great pickup for
a lot
for
of easier getting a kick in the good team than it is in the poorer team, albeit one that's on the rise. But the bottom line is you've got to get yourself into the team. Trent Dumont joins us. Welcome, Trent, and must feel good to get another crack at it.
Yeah, it's thanks for having me, boys. It's a nice feeling. Personally, like, expect, or you have this expectation of yourself that you're good enough to play still, but it's still pretty uncomfortable when you go through the processes. There's that many different periods of free agency, and then it was rolling around to the draft, and then potentially pre-season draft or the SSP sort of period. And it's finally good to just land at a home in Port, which is they're a club that's winning a lot of footy at the minute. So I just got to get in, work as hard as possible and try and get myself a spot and hopefully share in some success. And they can go a couple games a couple wins better over the next, you know, few years. That'd be nice.
I know you've probably addressed this many times, but one more for the record. The separation between yourselves and North Melbourne, how did you deal with that? Were you disappointed, or did you think it was time to find another area?
Yeah, I sort of felt throughout the year, obviously, like, there's a lot of young talent that they were blooding and stuff like that. So not that that was deterring me from trying to play my best for them, but I did feel like my best footy was elsewhere. My sort of role within the team was a bit blurred at the time. I just sat down with Nobes and Brady Rawlings at the end of the year, and they just asked me in my heart of hearts, like, did I feel like my best footy was elsewhere? And I did. And that was sort of how that all came to fruition.
What do you think your role at Port Adelaide will be, Trent?
I think sort of dual role, wing and inside mid. And the thing that I like about the wing role at Port, which was a little different to so the change that Nobes made this year, was I wasn't really allowed inside 50 to make my man accountable. I did watch a lot of Port in the second half of the year because I was sort of looking at clubs that I could potentially, or that I would potentially like to play for, and Port was one of them. The way their wings sort of run the lanes and get up and down the ground, I sort of that's how I've played wing in the past. And then inside mid, I'll go to work on my craft there and try and be of use to the team there and help make that midfield group perform, you know, better than they already have, which has been pretty good over the last couple of years.
The wing's a really interesting position. It's gone through a number of iterations, and it's evolved into, as you said, at some clubs, it's just a hard-working blue-collar position. Sometimes you're just there blocking transfer of the football, and it's tough to get a kick. And yet it's come from a position where some of the great stars of the game played racked up possessions and were always kicking goals.
Yeah, it's get behind that defence, and then it's get up and put on some forward half pressure so that we can get the ball back in our front half. And it requires a lot of running. Sometimes if the ball's on the other side of the field and you're doing your job correctly covering the outlets, the ball is not going to come there. And that means you've done a good job. But when people look at the stat sheet, they might think, he hasn't had a kick today.
Yeah,
but
in
the inner sanctum of a football club, the wingers aren't required to get big numbers. And if they do, it's great. But like sometimes they're required to just cover the outlets and keep the ball on that skinny side so the team can pressure. You look at Brayshaw and Langdon, like, they had terrific years and they're celebrated because they're playing in the best team and they've done so well. But they're not having huge stat games all the time. It's sort of dependent on how the game sort of falls. But, yeah, that wing role can be, like, pretty sacrificial at times, but it's so important for the team's defence, which I sort of love that about the game and you know, the roles within each team. That's what is exciting about footy. Like, teams appreciate the star, Petraka as much as a Brayshaw or a Langdon.
Moving home to SA, I'm not sure exactly where in Adelaide you're from, Trent. Where are you going to be living now?
At the minute, I'm just sort of organising, renting my house out in Melbourne and then getting a rental here in Adelaide. I've had a few people offer their hand to sort of take me in, which has been nice. So at the minute, I'm just doing a bit of couch hopping, some friends and my parents. So, yeah, just sort of pre-Christmas, it will be a bit of that, and then I'll be more settled in the new year.
You'll be even more settled when you're slotting in on the wing in round one. Trent, great to have you on. We always knew you'd find another home, and you have. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Cheers for the chat.
Give Roger Rashid a ring. He reckons he's the most important, influential person in Port Adelaide. Surely you can find Trent a bed.
I'm sure I could find some more.
I reckon you got it. It's tennis season. All the best.
Good
mate.
On you, Trent. Trent Dumont there. And if not with Roger, surely Koshy would find him one. More sports after this.
We knew when we announced the event that there was going to be some more challenges because it's just the nature of the world we've been living in the last 2 years. But we're still waiting. I've been talking to the government overnight and again this morning. There's still a lot of unanswered questions around this. I think in the next 14 days we'll have some more clarity. But at this point, the plans are going ahead as they are. We're looking forward to 100% capacity crowds in January.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's Craig Tiley, the boss of the Australian Open, on Channel 9 yesterday talking about the Omicron variant. We've had a couple of cases in New South Wales. I mean, we do our best to be the opposite of alarmist here on the show, Jared, but obviously there's going to be sporting codes around Australia, as it will be around the world, watching this.
I think everybody's watching.
The boss of Moderna said today, still not absolutely sure if the vaccine works against the variant, but...
But I think the good news is, coming out of South Africa, the medicos are reporting that it's not killing people.
No, the death rate is a lot lower with the early data they have.
It's fatigue and muscle soreness. So if that's what proves to be the ultimate outcome, well, it won't impact them, and it's less than the flu.
Yeah. Did you hear Caro on Ross and Russ this morning?
I didn't,
no. So she's been struck down by it.
Yep.
And family has as well. And she said she's been pretty crook. The cases in the Netherlands are going right up. So shout out to Caro. Hope you're doing okay. But yeah, we'll all be watching here. But as I said earlier in the show, Jared, I think let's just put a line through Novak. It's over.
It's gone.
That's not happening.
Okay.
I think you can almost walk into the bank and think about banking it.
When you go take it to the bank, Scoop, I hear the dollar sign.
Absolutely no idea. It's a calculated guess. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. 29 and sunny.